In his address to Congress yesterday, the Pope got very specific about how he sees the refugee crisis, movements of people across borders across the world.
The people of this continent are not fearful of foreigners, because most of us were once foreigners.
The Pope said we must not be taken aback by their numbers, but rather view them as persons, seeing their faces and listening to their stories, trying to respond as best we can to their situation, to respond in a way which is always humane, just, and fraternal. Well, listen to the story of Syrian migrant Salak Arbash, trapped in eastern Croatia when Croatia refused entry to all Serbian cars and citizens trying to cross at the main Bajakovo crossing last night.
Now we are here from yesterday. We have waited for 12 hours on the border. Last night was very difficult for us because it was rainy and it was so cold. We have slept for 2 hours in the street.
Fear and desperation drive refugees from their homes, but fear is also among the key factors inhibiting the orderly process of finding new homes for migrants in Europe right now. Ambassador William Swing is Director General of the International Organization for Migration. How does this fear become an obstacle to solving the problem as we move from border to border and address the issue of that Syrian migrant, Salak Arbash?
Well, in a certain sense, we are in the middle of a perfect storm. We have more people on the move than ever before. We have more forced migrants than ever before, the largest number since the Second World War. But we also have the unprecedented anti-migrant sentiment. As mentioned, this is being driven by fears, and these fears have to be addressed. The people go back to the 2008-2009 economic recession, afraid of losing their jobs. There's what I call the post-9/11 security syndrome, where everyone is potentially viewed as going to do harm to someone. But I think perhaps most importantly, people have a very unfounded fear about the loss of identity, personal identity or national identity. So we need to move that debate from identity to one of values and interests. Can we share common interests? Yes, we can if we're properly welcomed and given a chance to integrate and make our contribution. I mean, historically, migration has always been overwhelmingly positive.
How much of this do you think is bigger than the war in Syria, something you've observed firsthand in 2013, both the close-up faces of the people in Syria and the specifics of the Syrian civil war, but there's also a dynamic that is much bigger, it seems to me.
Well, it's true, and I'm always say that I'm surprised when people are surprised that so many people are heading into Europe and elsewhere. And this is a global phenomenon. It's happening in the Andaman Sea, the Bay of Bengal, the Red Sea, on the waterways between Haiti and South Florida, et cetera. But it focuses now on Europe because that's become not only the most popular but the deadliest destination. We've lost 3,200 people last year. We've lost 2,800 already this year. So it seems to me that we've got to start looking on this as a matter of a humanitarian cause. These are all human beings. We have to make number one priority to save life, number two to give everybody protective status, some kind of temporary protective status, try to welcome them in better reception centers than we have now. It's a lot of work to be done.
Why has the protocols that were established after World War II, why have they all been ignored or forgotten? I mean, there was a pretty orderly process that was put in place precisely to deal with this kind of situation.
Well, that is correct. The 1951 Geneva Convention allows people to apply for what we call refugee status determination. We move about 250,000 people a year under this and other protocols. But it's fallen apart in a little bit because of the fear factors that we mentioned. We also have a relatively stark erosion of international moral authority. International humanitarian law is being violated on all sides. We're in the fifth year of the Syrian war. We have conflict from the western bulge of Africa into Asia. So there are a lot of driving forces there, and migration is going to be a mega trend of our century. But frankly, our policies just have not kept up with reality.
So your budget is about $1.5 billion, and you have member countries that work with you. Give me an example of a population that you've helped to relocate.
Well, we are, as we speak, we are right. We, first of all, in Libya in March of 2011, when the revolution broke out, together with UNHCR, we transported 250,000 migrants to 54 countries at a cost of about $125 million. We got them all out safely. As we speak, we are taking people out of Sana'a in Yemen by air, very difficult proposition in between bombing pauses. And we're taking people across the Red Sea to Djibouti and onward to safety. So these are populations we are constantly moving.
The track record of the world is pretty pathetic. I mean, you've got two and three generations of people in temporary camps in Jordan, in Lebanon, in the occupied territories in Israel. You've got two generations in some of the places in Africa. You've got you know, millions and millions of stateless people in the Republic of Congo. You know, it just seems like the world is not prepared to deal with this in any significant way, other than a few, you know, 10,000 here, 10,000 there.
Well, I think we're dealing with what the Pope, he's in town now, so I should mention that he has called the globalization of indifference. I think we as an international community, including all of us as agencies, we didn't do a very good job of disaster reduction or preventing disasters. And we've done an even poorer job of resolving, because right now we have conflict, as I mentioned, throughout Africa and the Middle East. And I'm not aware of any active negotiations or viable political processes that offer any of us any hope for a short to medium term solution to any of these. So you're right. I mean, I think we have to come together around the concept that human beings are the most important aspects of our life, and we have to find a better way to protect them. Not all of them will be able to stay. Some of them need to be assisted. In some cases, some of them will actually want to go back home. But people don't move because they don't love their country. They move because of lack of opportunity, or frankly, their life is threatened. And that's what we have right now.
William Swing is Director General of the International Organization for Migration. He has served as a U.S. ambassador to Haiti and several different countries in Africa. Thanks so much, Ambassador.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.